Thanks again to Jesse Agler.
Going to have to work the word sockdolager into tonight's game on the Incorporator. Final hour of Ben and Woods here. Our friends at Cespedes Family Barbecue just commented on a tweet I sent last night, which was, again, my logical introverted brain just coming up with kind of a weird factoid. When I tweeted, the Padres have matched the NL wildcard leading Braves with their 35th win, although remain 3.5 games behind in the standings due to 7 more losses, which is wild to have played 10% more games at this point in the season. The Padres, 70 games in, have played 10% or 7 more games already than the Atlanta Braves. Because that's weird. And I thought, I'm sure there's been some rainouts and that. Cespedes Family Barbecue said, yeah, obviously the head start with the Korean series and better weather ensures more games played early on for San Diego, but can't really remember a 7-game gap in games played between two teams this late in the season before, although maybe it's more common than it seems. Think about that going forward, though. That's good news for the Padres going forward. They will have 7 more off days in the last 3.5 months of the season than the Atlanta Braves to reset their pitching rotation, give their bullpen a break. Off days are more valuable the later the season goes.
Unless
you say
you win your division and then you have to sit and rot. And,
that's true too, which is not going to happen. So yeah. I would say those off days will be highly valuable for the Padres to have in hand compared to a team like the Braves, who are going to have to play an insane number of games to start catching up.
Unless, and this is the way my negative brain works, unless you're red hot and you don't want to not play games, you know, and I know on paper, and you can't follow this game on paper. It just doesn't work. On paper, yes, that is inherently a good thing. No one knows what it will be until it's over.
Yeah, usually you never get more than 2-3 games away from all the other teams on the schedule. To be 7 apart is pretty wild.
Yeah, 100%.
All right, let's get some headlines. It is time for today's edition of the Rindle Report.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Rindle Report.
Now tuned into the motherfucking greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report with Paul Rindle.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
2 stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And 1 story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindle Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3, The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a
All right. Jerry asks in the chat, is Paul an introvert or an extrovert? I said I'm an extroverted introvert. I feel like I've always been that way. I can turn it on when I need to go out and be with friends or in public or anything like that. But I love returning to my home, my safe place.
I like my cocoon.
Yeah. I mean, before my girlfriend, now wife, moved in, like, I lived alone and I loved it. I'd go out and meet some friends for a drink or something, and then when I wanted to leave, see you later. No roommates.
Nope.
My own place.
See, now I am the opposite in that I don't need my home cocoon necessarily in my safe place. I just don't want to. I can't turn it on like you can, Paulie, when I'm in a crowded setting with people. I'm just the same.
You get very uncomfortable
person. But I like to be out. I like to be out and doing it. I like to go out more than you do and do things
immensely.
Just not necessarily interacting with other people.
I was in the sun the other day for like 6 hours straight, and it was the weirdest experience of my life. I just wanted to be at home on my bed.
All right, elsewhere in sports, no basket hoops last night, but we did have the hockey, and the Florida Panthers took a 2-0 series lead in the Stanley Cup final over Edmonton. 4-1, they scored 3 goals in the final period, one of those being an empty net, I think another one being a power play, and I have not watched any of the Stanley Cup.
It's been very one-sided.
It has. I watched 5 minutes.
I try to watch the Stanley Cup finals every year, because it's just the intensity is unparalleled in sports, I think, but
Oilers only have 1 goal in the first 2 games, and it came on a shorthanded, kind of a shot that should have been blocked by, what, Bobrovsky?
He's been
absolutely perfect the whole series, and now they're going to Edmonton facing pretty much the must-win situation on Thursday night in Game 3.
Yeah, Thursday night, game three in that series. NBA Finals picks up tomorrow night here in Dallas.
Here in Dallas. Yeah.
All right, elsewhere in the NFL, I saw that the Steelers gave Mike Tomlin a contract extension through 2027. He's already the longest tenured head coach, and that's not changing anytime soon. He's got a three-year extension, going to keep him in control. He's entering his 18th season.
I mean, that's Pittsburgh one. Steelers. I mean, that's what they're. What have they had? Three coaches in our lifetime, right?
Yeah,
something like that.
Name them:
Chuck Knoll,
Bill Cowher,
and Mike Tomlin. That's nuts.
That's insane.
In modern sports history, that's nuts. I love Mike Tomlin. I don't know why. I just do. How do Steelers fans feel today? Are they happy? Are they sad? Makes perfect sense to them.
If I'm a Steelers fan, I am. Obviously, they have not won a Super Bowl in the last few years, but
you got to be mad at your GM, though.
I think you're proud that you have an organization of stability.
100%.
That transcends even beyond decades and generations.
You say that, Ben. The modern sports fan, they love stability. Come on, they want it now.
Mike Tomlin's never had a losing record,
no,
right? Never.
I don't think so, no. Yeah, but nobody. The modern sports fan, again, I mean, you can't. Dylan Cease gave up one home run last night, and myself included, I didn't tweet anything, but I went, oh, God, here we go. It is instant. Be perfect all the time, or you're done for.
The Steelers operate under the long noted axiom. The grass is not always greener
Absolutely.
On the other side.
Absolutely.
We know we've got a good thing here.
Yep.
Let's not be trying to chase a better thing when more than likely
it doesn't exist.
We fire Mike Tomlin, we're going to hire someone worse.
Yeah,
we've gotten pretty solid and lucky with our three coaches. Let's not mess with what we're doing. I respect that. I respect it.
Adam says we can ask Michael, our big boss. He's a Steelers fan. I did not know that.
I did not either.
All right, I'm going to guess, knowing Michael a little bit.
I think he's happy.
I think he wanted some fresh blood.
Oh.
I agree with Woods. I feel like
Michael is always looking for the bigger
underperformed the last few years. I don't know what their records have been. I don't follow the Steelers, but
they need better players.
They need better players. That's not on him. He's not the GM.
He gets the most, I always think, out of the players that they
have. Why wouldn't you want that guy?
He's 14.
He cuts a commanding figure.
Oh, no.
Pretty wise.
Yeah. Love him. Just always love his press conferences and everything. Mm-hmm. I feel like Michael probably wanted some fresh blood.
I mean, he's very Mike Schilt in his...
I hope Michael
not
likes
gonna
stability.
Anytime they get off to a slow start, he is the first one to go, I'm not going to panic.
I don't panic.
We're going to turn around. I'm not going to panic. He's very Mike Schilt that way.
Yeah, hopefully, Michael does value stability.
18 years in one place.
And, I mean, winning, too. Like,
winning.
Yeah.
Not just changing things up every 3 years.
Yeah, let's ride this out for a while. Just go with a cheaper option or something. No. Let's ride
Michael's
it out.
A stability guy.
He loves stability.
It's total stability.
He loves this. It's a great
That's
move.
What we love about Michael.
That's what we love.
I love the Steelers, by the way.
He loves stability. We love the Steelers.
I bleed whatever colors they are. Yellow and black.
Yeah.
Yes. Bleed it. 100%.
All right, finally got a story here from one of my favorite websites, Consequence of Sound. They're very good at music and pop culture, television, movies. And the headline reads, The Who's Roger Daltrey is, quote, effing sick of fans looking up set lists before concerts. Now, I don't know anything about Roger Daltrey. I don't know if he's a likable or unlikable guy. I'm sure Woods can fill us in. I hate that opinion from him. I absolutely hate it. The first thing I thought of when I saw that headline was he's going, oh, it's the artist in him is like, no, you should just be grateful that we're going to play for you what we have hand chosen as a band. No, dude, everybody wants to know when you're singing, who are you?
Yes.
Bob O'Reilly.
Eminence Front. Yes, like, I want to know.
Come on.
Pinball Wizard, Behind Blue Eyes. All right, first of all, Roger Daltrey is... he's exalted. He is the lead singer of The Who, one of the greatest rock bands to ever grace our planet. That said, he's been doing this a very long time, and I think he's just complaining to complain because...
Like, I understand the gripe, I guess.
Well, what is
but
his,
don't publicize it.
What is his gripe exactly? Like, that people want to see what you're going to play. Like, I'm a curious person, and when I buy a concert ticket, it's... literally the first thing I do.
Yeah, setlist.fm.
I screenshot it on my phone, and at the show, I'm like, oh, good, so it's coming up next. Or, time to go pee-pee. Or
But if you were a musical artist, you would want to change up your set list.
Every night.
Here's what he said. It's like when you were a comedian, you wanted to change your act every single night.
Every night.
He was doing an interview with Billboard. He said, I'm not going to talk about songs. Too many people reveal songs. There's no surprises left with concert these days. Because everybody wants to see the set list. I'm effing sick of it. The internet's ruined the live shows for me. Who wants to know what's coming next? People forget about surprises. I can't stand it.
You know, listen, I'm a notorious...
What's the biggest surprise you ever had at a concert?
Oh, man. I went to Pearl Jam, their 10th anniversary, the first show they ever played. Now, they wouldn't be a band if it wasn't for this other band, Mother Love Bone. And their singer died. Couple guys from that band met Eddie Vedder. They started Pearl Jam, right? But if Andrew Wood never died, that band would have gone on to great things. So I go to their 10th anniversary show. And now you want to talk about tears. They played a Mother Love Bone song, Crown of Thorns. And Eddie sang it. And I was like, it was the greatest surprise of all time. I don't know if the internet even existed then, but I would have totally... But again, I know Pearl Jam. They switch it up every night. Eddie writes it out in the thing, and this guy's better be ready. You got 200 songs. You better know, because Eddie's going to, let's do this one tonight. They're like, oh, cool. We haven't done this in 12 years, and we're doing it tonight. That's the difference in them and the Grateful Dead. And there's certain bands that mix it up every night. I will say, I look at an artist on tour, and I go, oh, yes, they're playing. It does give you a little bit of disappointment if they're not playing one of your favorites, but it also gives you a lot of excitement if they are playing something maybe you haven't heard in years. I like to know what's coming.
See, I got the best of both worlds when I went to the Taylor Swift concert last year with Megan. The same set list every single night. This is like a two-year-long tour now.
Right.
But so I was able to be like, all right, you know, I don't really care for this era, so I'm going to go buy some merch for you, and you enjoy the show. Or I'm going to go to the bathroom or whatever. But then she would do, I think, two surprise songs every show.
Yeah, sure.
To mix it up a little bit. So there was still an element of surprise, and you knew exactly when you needed to go somewhere.
You know, the first thing I do is look at
the set
list. The main thing that I look for is the encore. And if the encore sucks, I know I'm leaving.
Yes.
And there's a lot of bands that I like where their biggest hit is the song I like the least. So I'm like, all right, I don't need to hear this. And I'm out the door, man. I'm beating traffic. You know I love to beat traffic more than almost anything in the world. If somebody asked me, would you rather have intercourse or beat traffic? I would say beat traffic.
Concert traffic.
All day, 100% of the time. Get me home. I want to beat the crowd. I don't want to be standing there. I don't want to wait for my car.
Wouldn't the most logical thing...
Control freak. Yeah, that's exactly right.
I think if I was a musical artist or band... The most logical thing for me would be I'd start playing the most popular song to start and keep getting less and less popular so that only the diehards were there at the end.
Would you say somebody does that?
Counting Crows did that. They walked on stage, they played Mr. Jones, and like, see you guys. Everybody want to come here and see that one?
Yeah.
Enjoy.
And just keep going.
It's pretty badass.
You're left with simply the people who really... Just appreciate your band and your music at the end.
And what, your encore is just some demo you did? Like, it's not some great song?
I don't understand the idea of an encore. It is so...
It's badass.
If it's scheduled...
It's bad forced.
And you know it's going to happen.
It is forced, but it's badass.
It's so forced.
The first encore
you're
going to
play
ever
22
recorded.
Songs, make the last three of them the encore. Woods is needs an encore. Come on, Woods. No, no, we got 45 minutes left. Woods!
Yeah!
Come on, Woods, come back. Come on. You really have to.
Yeah! Thank you.
Shocker.
Oh, my God.
Thank you guys for staying. Here we go. One, two, three, four. If you are. It's why you become a musician, is the encore. You guys out of your mind?
So fake.
You go out, you get a little drink, have a little cigarette, and you wait 30 seconds. And then you walk back out and you go. Who wants a little bit more? Are you kidding? It's why you become a musician.
Should we start doing this on our show at around this time every morning?
Let's go.
We leave.
Everyone clap.
Until the, you know,
let's
we, go, get, man, we get enough tweets
man,
or something.
All right, we'll do one more.
All right, we're back.
One more segment. Oh, it's the dream. It is the dream. There's two things about being a musician. Two. It's why you do it. It's the darkening of the house lights before you come on. and the roar of the like, oh God, and you see the silhouette walking out, and the hair on your arm stands up,
then
and then
the light turns on the drummer.
The bass player, then the guitar, then the lead singer, of course, walks out last. Are you ready? And just gets after it. There's nothing like it, man. There's nothing like it.
Yeah, I dare you. Don't come back out if they don't cheer loud enough.
It's happened. The Strokes used to do no encore. They would just play, and then all right, and then walk off the stage, and then people would be standing there cheering for 30 minutes, and then the lights come on. You're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I think Roger Daltrey, honestly, is just, I think he's just a bitter old dude. And from what I heard yesterday, they mix up their set list. So what is he complaining about? Like, if you mix it up, you know, then what do you have to complain about? So why don't you just...
I have a weird favorite Who song.
What is it?
I Can See for Miles and Miles.
That's not a weird one.
That not weird?
I was driving around yesterday listening to The Who, and I heard my old favorite, Paulie. I sent it to you.
Oh, yes.
And I was blown away. Check this out.
What do you need me for? You can play it.
What are you playing over there? Oh, just jamming some Who. My Jew's harp. Yeah, I was driving around after this. I read that article, and I was like, I need to listen to some Who. And I was hitting it all day long. And then I heard that. I went, yes, they used it. Dude. It's not bad. It's not really kind of easy instrument to play. I have two. Jack brought me one, too.
Oh, nice.
I have one in my car and one in my bag. So I have, if you ever need anyone to sit in on the harp. What's the name of the song? Join Together?
Join Together.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fantastic. Thank you, Paulie. I love that segment.
You're welcome.
All right, we're going to be back. Assuming
maybe.
You show us
you
enough love.
Better make some noise.
Make some noise.
Ben Woods.
You better
Ben
make some
Ben
noise.
Woods.
Or we are not coming back.
Back after traffic on 97.3 The Fan. We are 50 days out from the Major League Baseball trade deadline. A couple of pieces yesterday. Jim Bowden in The Athletic talking about some of the things that he expects to see over the trade deadline. And Buster Olney, I assume it was the real Buster and not hacked Buster Olney, posted an ESPN Plus piece.
I saw it. He said, okay, if I get unlimited prison sentence, who will come and bring panties?
No, this was actually... he actually had a
big scoop on the trade deadline.
Yeah, huge.
His take on it, and he has spoke to other executives around baseball. And I thought this was kind of interesting. He said he expects the Yankees and Phillies to be the two most all-in teams. Yankees know they've only got Soto guaranteed for this year. The way they're playing, they can't really afford not to go all out to try to win the World Series.
Oh, you mean you don't trade for Rich Hill and Scott Barlow?
Yeah. The Phillies, meanwhile, are...
G-Man Choi? That's not going to get it done?
Yeah, you know, they've come so close the last couple of years, and they're off to the best start in franchise history. They're another team that's all in. But he said other executives don't necessarily think the Dodgers are an all-in team, which...
What?
Seems weird because they are the most all-in team in the offseason with how much they spent. But the point that they made was, yeah, but they're just as good next year and the year after that. And the year after that, they don't need to mortgage anything because they're going to continue to be good year after year. They should stick with their plan rather than make any midstream changes to what they're doing.
Now, you said that yesterday, too, and I find it insane. I find it insane. When you're looking at this team here in San Diego, what do we always say? Well, and I realize, is their core much younger than our core in L.A.? Their core?
No. Older.
When we do it, we have to. We cannot waste another year of Manny's prime or Xander's prime and Tatis getting, all of this. When the Dodgers, no, just stick to the decade-long plan. What is their goal? To try to win one World Series? I don't think so. They have not won a full-season championship since 1988, while in that time, I would bet my house that since 1990, they've spent the most money, right? Them, Yankees, close.
Probably.
Pretty close.
Yeah.
And Yankees have won in that, let's call it the year, what year do you want to say? 1990? Yankees got a bunch. Dodgers have one.
Yankees have four.
Dodgers have none since 1988, right? In a full season is the qualifier. I don't know that there's some grand plan for the LA Dodgers other than to try to win a World Series with Mookie and Freddie and Clayton and, you know, all the guys that they have. Yeah, they've got guys locked up long term, guys like Otani and people like that, but they don't think they're all in to try to win a championship.
The Dodgers are in the weird spot, though, in that they don't, unlike the Padres, they don't have to shove all in just to make the playoffs.
No, but they know
they're getting there.
They do have holes, and they have faltered in the playoffs every year. Why wouldn't they want to?
But they've tried that. They've acquired superstars at the deadline.
Manny
Machado to try to, you know, become a better playoff team. That didn't work out for them, too. They've tried a number of different strategies, and they all end up failing in October. They've gone the consistent route. They've gone the superstar route. They've gone the bullpen route. They have made moves. They have not made moves. They have tried everything, and nothing works for them when it comes to October.
Yeah, I fully expect them to go out and get a shortstop. I fully expect them to go out and get bullpen depth. I don't know that they need another starting pitcher, but everybody wants one. I fully expect them to be active.
The two teams to watch, according to Buster, are the Mets and the Blue Jays. And Eno told us about the Blue Jays as well. If and when those teams decide to start trading players, there are very few players on those teams that are not available.
Wow.
There will be lots of interest in lots of players on both of those teams. But because, especially in the National League, there's such a logjam around the playoff spot, even the Mets, and Steve Cohen said this week, I feel like we're going to get it going at some point. We're only three games out of a playoff spot. There's no reason to be talking about trading and selling off pieces, at least right now.
Yep.
So it doesn't seem like they're anywhere close to starting to make those deals, which leaves you with the same five teams that every other team in baseball is trying to pluck from right now. The White Sox, the Marlins, the Rockies, the Angels, and probably the A's. And those are the teams that right now are the trade available teams. And everybody else is still, hey, let's try to win a few games in a row. We go on 1 5-game winning streak right now. And we're in good shape for the playoffs, no matter who you are in baseball at this moment.
Yeah, I do see the Yankees being active, and I do see the Phillies being active. I know they're looking for an outfielder. I mean, that's why that funny Buster tweet about Luis Robert going to the Phillies. I don't know. I mean, that's one I was like, all right. I mean, I don't know what their farm system is like or what it could potentially yield, but I would imagine it's pretty good. You know it. Just what does another team value? What does another team need?
What does the Phillies farm system look like?
They
haven't traditionally been.
No, because they've got. Isn't Dombrowski their GM?
He's more of a
Preller.
But Preller is better at building his farm system. Dombrowski's more of a. He's a roster builder. He's a roster builder on the big league level, and he's pretty good at it.
Yep.
But he's not a minor league system builder the way that AJ is. Really, you combine Dave Dombrowski and A.J. Preller into the greatest GM of all time.
You might have the really, really good GM meld those two.
A.J. Dombrowski.
Yeah.
Dave Preller.
Dave Preller. I'm all in. Dave Preller.
Hire him in a heartbeat.
In a second.
They complement each other quite well.
Absolutely.
All right, we got a four-pack of tickets to give away right now to Off-Road Nights Dirt Lifestyle Expo coming June 22nd at North County Mall Escondido. Grab tickets now at ORNscene.com. Escondido.
Will you be there?
At the Off-Road Nights Dirt Lifestyle Expo?
I'm not a huge fan
of dirt.
I think dirt lifestyle.
I like roads, actually.
Yeah, I like roads, too.
Not off-roads, but some people.
Still want to get you in the desert on one of those
buggies.
More than anything.
Think about it. Every time we drive out to Arizona.
Too. Every time. I just want him in a buggy.
The sand dunes.
I just want to see you do fun stuff.
Whee!
Call now. 833-288-0973. Third caller.
I'll do anything to get Ben
anything
on the
at
sand
dunes.
Send you to the expo.
Anything.
It's a niche audience, but I know you're out there. Why not get free tickets? Why pay for them? You're going anyway.
Yeah.
Might as well win them from us. 833-288-0973. Back to look ahead to tonight's middle game of the three-game series against the Oakland A's next year on 97.3 The Fan. Don't forget, last week to sign up for our third annual-ish Chrome Tour Benton Woods Open. It is next Wednesday. Morning and afternoon shotguns. We got a few more times in the afternoon. Morning's almost completely sold out. Paulie's put it up on our social channels. You can find the sign up or just search Benton Woods Open on Eventbrite. And you can reserve your spots, get a single, a twosome, a foursome. We'll put you together with other tier one if you sign up as a single or a twosome. We've got some great, great sponsors and donors that have contributed some amazing raffle prizes. We've got food all over the place at the tournament. Philo, who is the guy who works the grill at the GOAT, he has a great sausage setup. Trust me, it's good. It's good. You'll like his sausages.
I've had his
hot
dogs.
Yes.
Before. Same
dog sausages.
They're
kielbasa.
They're
brats.
They're ungodly.
They're
good.
So good.
They're
he's
ungodly good.
He's got
good.
The biggest like condiment station yes. you're ever going to want to see. We're going to have lunch for everybody. We got Virgin beer. We've got, you're going to get VG's donuts.
Yep.
We got Better Buzz coffee. He's going to have coffee in the morning.
Jersey Mike's.
Jersey Mike's subs
Maestro
on the course.
Maestro Nobel tequila to wash it all down
it's
with.
It's going to be Eco Water.
Eco Water.
SoCal.
Yes.
Just keeping us hydrated throughout the day. We've called on all of our friends, and they're all coming through for us for what should be a fantastic time next Wednesday at the Benton Woods Open. So last chance this week to sign up, get your name in so we can get everything organized and finalized before next Wednesday. Callaway prizes are amazing, too.
Yeah, 100%.
Golf balls. I don't want to give anything away.
No, so don't say anything.
Okay.
Yeah.
We have a heckle
hole.
Surprises.
Yeah, we have a heckle hole. We have a glory hole. It's all kinds of fun stuff.
I think they're going to be back-to-back.
Yeah, there it was.
Glory hole followed by the heckle hole.
It's going to be great.
It's a lot.
It's a lot
right there.
It's going to be
for
great.
Sure. All right, let's check traffic, and we'll come back, take a look ahead at tonight's game against the Oakland A's next here on 97.3 The Fan. Not much change in the logjam of the wild card standings last night. The Giants pulled out a three-run bottom of the 10th to beat the Astros 4-3. So they now have that third wild card spot right on the heels of the Padres, who are just behind the Atlanta Braves. Tonight, Padres will go for their fourth win in five games when they host the A's again. Randy Vasquez going to be on the mound. Threw pretty well his last time out. He's always had a little bit of ups and downs as he's continued to be the spot starter filling in, I guess, technically for Joe Musgrove in the rotation. J.P. Sears will be the left-handed starter,
I believe, for the
Oakland A's. 4-5 record, 3.93 ERA. They've actually, as Mark Kotze told us yesterday, gotten pretty decent pitching. The offense has been inconsistent for the A's, but they've gotten good starting pitching, and with a lefty on the mound, see if the Padres can overcome their season-long issues against left-handers tonight.
Yeah, JP is a bit of a thumber, if you would. I mean, he throws mostly a sweeper. His four-seam fastball it's not that firm. It's about 92, which is kind of what the dude was throwing last night, averaging 92, 93. Works a decent changeup in there as well, but you know. He's not a guy you can go up there and sit fastball on, really, Benny. His breaking stuff is really good. Breaking stuff is really, really good. So he's going to kind of thumb you to death. And, you know, I don't know what the scouting report on the San Diego Padres is for him. Just that, hey, I'm left-handed. So
We've seen some softer throwing left-handers do
damage
more than well against the San Diego
that's
Padres.
That's exactly right. So, again, you know, don't want to put the fear of God in anyone. But, yeah, I'm looking at this game going, oh, boy. All right.
Had a couple of injury updates from Mike Shildt last night. Talked about Xander Bogaerts going to be getting another CAT scan. You're probably on the next road trip. A month out from his first one, they think he's been progressing pretty well, but that'll give him a better idea as to when a possible return might be available. They say Xander's been getting footwork in.
Like massages?
No, like at second base. On his, you know, a mirror image footwork, you know, covering the bag, things that he's had to learn on the fly as he switched his position in spring training. Now, he can't throw, he can't bat, but he can go out there and at least, you know, shuffle around and, you know, pretend to take throws and which direction and which instincts, you know, you're supposed to run in the right direction when a ball gets hit. So they've been working on that, Mike Shildt says, during his time down. And he's been tracking the ball, so he can, like, hold a bat without swinging. So just kind of stands in the cage and, You wonder what kind of work goes into being a Major League Baseball player. Think about that.
Yeah.
Think about you're injured. You can't take batting practice, but it's worth it to just get in there.
Got to.
As pitches are thrown, so you can track the spin, watch them closely. Just would I have swung at that one? Would I have not swung at that one? Strike or ball? That's part of the work that goes in even when a player is injured.
You don't do that when you watch a game?
What do you mean?
Like when you watch a game now, you don't do what I've swung, what I've not. I play every pitch of every game, oftentimes on my feet, like with the fake bat, trying to every time.
No.
Like, oh, no, you
don't do that. I just look at the box on the screen and go, oh, it was outside. I shouldn't have swung.
In the
zone. I should swing.
Interesting.
Yu Darvish is getting closer. He continues to throw as he recovers from his groin strain. There's talk of him coming back pretty soon. I think he's eligible in just a few days to return from the injured list. Now, I looked at the Padres' starting rotation, and if you wanted to, with an off day on Thursday, you could bump everybody up a day and skip Adam Mazur and have Yu Darvish come back as late as next Monday in Philadelphia without having anybody pitch on short rest or anything.
Who would pitch in Philadelphia?
So right now, it's Vasquez today and Michael King tomorrow.
Okay.
Then it's an off day. Matt Waldron is going to pitch on Friday.
Against
the Mets.
Mets.
And now if you wanted, you could move Dylan Cease up from Sunday to Saturday. And that would be a normal 4 days rest because of the off day. Then you can move Randy Vasquez up to Sunday against the Mets on normal rest.
Okay.
And you could move move King then up to Monday against the Phillies. And then you'd have a spot where you need someone else. You could wait and put Yu Darvish in as late as next Tuesday in Philadelphia if you think he'll be ready by then. And you don't have to throw Adam Mazur out for another start. Now, maybe they do want to throw him out for another start. I don't know.
Yeah, it would be a matter of who you want to start him against. And I don't know that.
Right now, he's set to start against the Mets on Saturday.
Okay. Yeah, I think I'd rather him throw against the Mets.
But what about not at all?
If they think you
will be back by Tuesday, but not necessarily by Saturday, you could do that. Or I don't know if you was eligible for Saturday, if he can come back on Saturday. It might be Sunday, because I think they went on the injured list on that Saturday. Was it Friday or Saturday?
I don't know. You're working this out
on the radio.
Though.
I know. It's coming up soon, though.
This is actually live on the radio.
Actually, it was Wednesday.
Could it have been Wednesday?
7 days. I think a week.
You see where I'm going here, though.
I'm trying to... You're trying to prognosticate.
I'm trying to skip over Adam Mazur and not have a
You really are.
Why do you hate Adam Mazur?
Well, Paulie, it's because he gave up 8 runs in his last start. And I don't trust that it's going to go any better if he goes back out there again. Is that negative of me?
Yes.
A little bit.
If you want to be a
baseball GM or a manager, you can't always just have blinded faith in all of your players. Sometimes you have to evaluate and go, I don't think this guy's quite ready yet. If we can avoid starting him again, maybe we should get him back for a little more seasoning.
Well, I think it's all dependent on when Yu Darvish comes back, and I think, you know, you also never know what could happen from now until then. So it doesn't make a ton of sense to put anything in stone as far as moving guys up and moving guys back. But as long as regular rest isn't interrupted, right? And I don't think it would be. Then I think that's okay.
Yeah, I think when you have the opportunity to get starters a fifth day of rest during the season, because you haven't had that many off days, you do want to take it. So you can't just simply skip over every off day and turn it into a 4-man rotation.
Yeah.
Would this be a spot, though, maybe where you could think about doing that? Especially, as I mentioned, Padres will have extra off days later in the year compared to some of the other teams. Maybe this is a time where you get a little more aggressive when you're thin on your starting pitching and you ask Dylan Cease to go a day earlier on normal rest. Not short rest, just normal rest, as if there was no off day on Thursday.
Sammy Levitt with a really nice tweet here, Benny, and I don't know if it's nice, but it's good and it's informative. Padres lead Major League Baseball with a .262 team batting average, but they're hitting .229 against left-handed pitching. Now would be a good time to get going against lefties. The next four opposing starters: left-handed J.P. Sears today, Hogan Harris, left-hander, Wednesday, Sean Manaea, old friend, on Friday, left-hander, and Jose Quintana on Saturday, left-hander. 4 straight lefties coming at you. So you got to figure it out. You have to. Or, you know, you're potentially staring down. We're back to 500.
Back to 500.
Yeah. So
You don't want to go back to a season low, four games under 500.
By the way, you split these next four. Guess where you are? You're back at 500. So you're going to have to figure it out. And this is a bit of an Achilles heel for this team this year.
Would you take?
Don't ask me.
Splitting the next four against lefties? I mean, these are the A's and the Mets. These are teams under 500.
The answer is no.
You're supposed to be beating. But then it's four lefties, and they have not done well against lefties.
No. All at home, not that it matters.
And then you have to go to Philly. I mean, that's the tough series right there.
I don't take that.
You want better.
I want more. Always want more.
Well, it starts tonight. See if they can get game two of the series, and then they'll put themselves, I think, in the position the sixth time this year where they're going for a sweep. They have not been able to capitalize on the first five, but you can't get there until you win the...
Got to win tonight.
Until you win the second one.
Yeah, let's keep the guys that are swinging it well, keep them hot, and get some of the other guys going. You know, it's probably going to be a pretty... Mike Schilt really likes matchups, so you're probably going to see a very heavy diet of right-handed hitters tonight. So those guys got to get the job done. And, of course, Michael... who's on the bump? Randy Vasquez. Yeah, I mean, he needs to just keep us in it. You know, keep us in it and score some runs early off J.P. Sears. I mean, again, you should not be this nervous about a freaking game against the A's in June, but here we are. And that's the... Like we talked about last week, that's the... not beauty of following and being, you know, madly in love with a 500 team. Every loss just feels magnified. So it's been really hard for this team to string wins together. You got to start sometime. Why not now?
The College World Series, eight teams are set. There's not not any West Coast representation this year. It's four SEC teams and four ACC teams.
Shocker.
Might as well be like a mini conference challenge.
Exactly.
As opposed to a true College World Series. Nothing from the Pac-12. Nothing
from
the Big West.
Any major surprises in there?
I don't really know college baseball well enough to call anything a big surprise.
Florida, I think, was a surprise, but they rolled through.
That was the Clemson upset that they pulled off in extra innings over the weekend. That was an exciting game, to be sure. And, you know, it's a great event every year. I've never been, but I've heard people who go to Omaha and the College World Series say it's pretty... They do it really well.
It's delivered, man.
Every single
the college
year.
Baseball that I've seen and the highlights that I've seen this year has absolutely delivered. The games are insane with some of the crazier things that you'll see on a baseball diamond. But I haven't gotten super into it.
I do think it's a concern when you see some of these college coaches like throw a pitcher for 80 pitches one day and then bring him back for 50 the next day because they've got to win these super regional games. It's like, God, these guys are going to get drafted. They would never do that in the big leagues, minor leagues.
Do you remember C.J. Nitkowski?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember him.
Tigers?
His pitcher, Texas Ranger. He tweeted something the other day about a 13U game that they had a kid out there. He threw 137 pitches.
Oh, wow.
137 pitches. Which I thought was like against the rules.
If you're not asking
having so many arm injuries,
if you're not asking professional players to do it, don't ask kids to do it.
Correct.
I think that's a pretty simple rule of thumb that every youth, high school, and college coach can follow.
Couldn't believe it.
If a pro team wouldn't ask it of their professional players who they are paying, don't ask your kids to do it either.
Yep.
All right, that's it for us. We are done. Annie and Elston are coming up next. Got our Wednesday show coming up tomorrow at 6 o'clock, Big League Wednesday. Where in the world is Adam Jones at some point? For Pauly Reindel, our executive producer and imaging director, and Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Have a great rest of your Tuesday. From all of us here at 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody. Don't forget, last week to sign up for our third annual-ish Chrome Tour Ben and Woods Open. It is next Wednesday. Morning and afternoon shotguns. We got a few more times in the afternoon. Morning's almost completely sold out. Paulie's put it up on our social channels. You can find the sign up or just search Ben and Woods Open on Eventbrite. And you can reserve your spots, get a single, a twosome, a foursome. We'll put you together with other tier one if you sign up as a single or a twosome. We've got some great, great sponsors and donors that have contributed some amazing raffle prizes. We've got food all over the place at the tournament. Philo, who is the guy who works the grill at the GOAT, he has a great sausage setup. Trust me, it's good. You'll like his sausages.
I've had his hot dogs.
Yes.
Before. Same.
Dog sausages.
They're
kielbasa.
They're
brats.
They're ungodly.
They're
good.
So good.
They're
he's
ungodly good.
He's got
good.
The biggest like condiment station yes. you're ever going to want to see. We're going to have lunch for everybody. We've got Virgin beer. We've got, you're going to get VG's donuts.
Yep.
We've got Better Buzz coffee. He's going to have coffee in the morning.
Jersey Mike's.
Jersey Mike's subs
Maestro
on the course.
Maestro Nobel tequila to wash it all down
it's
with.
It's going to be Eco Water.
Eco Water.
SoCal.
Yes.
Just keeping us hydrated throughout the day. We've called on all of our friends, and they all coming through for us for what should be a fantastic time next Wednesday at the Benton Woods Open. So last chance this week to sign up, get your name in so we can get everything organized and finalized before next Wednesday. Callaway prizes are amazing, too.
Yeah, 100%.
Golf balls, I don't want to give anything away.
No, so don't say anything.
Okay.
Yeah.
We have a heckle hole. Surprises.
Yeah, we have a heckle hole. We have a glory hole. It's all kinds of fun stuff.
I think they're going to be back-to-back.
Yeah, there it was.
Glory hole followed by the heckle hole.
It's going to be great.
It's a lot. It's a lot right there.
It's going to be
for
great.
Sure. All right, let's check traffic, and we'll come back, take a look ahead at tonight's game against the Oakland A's next here on 97.3 The Fan. Not much change in the logjam of the wild card standings last night. The Giants pulled out a 3-run bottom of the 10th to beat the Astros 4-3. So they now have that third wild card spot right on the heels of the Padres, who are just behind the Atlanta Braves. Tonight, Padres will go for their fourth win in 5 games when they host the A's again. Randy Vasquez going to be on the mound. Threw pretty well his last time out. He's always had a little bit of ups and downs as he's continued to be the spot starter filling in, I guess, technically for Joe Musgrove in the rotation. J.P. Sears will be the left-handed starter,
I believe, for the
Oakland A's. 4-5 record, 3.93 ERA. They've actually, as Mark Kotze told us yesterday, gotten pretty decent pitching. The offense has been inconsistent for the A's, but they've gotten good starting pitching, and with a lefty on the mound, see if the Padres can overcome their season-long issues against left-handers tonight.
Yeah, JP is a bit of a thumber, if you would. I mean, he throws mostly a sweeper. His four-seam fastball it's not that firm. It's about 92, which is kind of what the dude was throwing last night, averaging 92, 93. Works a decent changeup in there as well, but you know. He's not a guy you can go up there and sit fastball on, really, Benny. His breaking stuff is really good. Breaking stuff is really, really good. So he's going to kind of thumb you to death. And, you know, I don't know what the scouting report on the San Diego Padres is for him. Just that, hey, I'm left-handed. So
We've seen some softer throwing left-handers do
damage
more than well against the San Diego
that's
Padres.
That's exactly right. So, again, you know, don't want to put the fear of God in anyone. But, yeah, I'm looking at this game going, oh, boy. All right.
Had a couple of injury updates from Mike Shildt last night. Talked about Xander Bogaerts going to be getting another CAT scan. You're probably on the next road trip. A month out from his first one, they think he's been progressing pretty well, but that'll give him a better idea as to when a possible return might be available. They say Xander's been getting footwork in.
Like massages?
No, like at second base. On his, you know, a mirror image footwork, you know, covering the bag, things that he's had to learn on the fly as he switched his position in spring training. Now, he can't throw, he can't bat, but he can go out there and at least, you know, shuffle around and, you know, pretend to take throws and which direction and which instincts, you know, you're supposed to run in the right direction when a ball gets hit. So they've been working on that, Mike Shildt says, during his time down. And he's been tracking the ball, so he can, like, hold a bat without swinging. So just kind of stands in the cage. And you wonder what kind of work goes into being a Major League Baseball player. Think about that.
Yeah.
Think about you're injured. You can't take batting practice, but it's worth it to just get in there as pitches are thrown so you can track the spin, watch them closely, just would I have swung at that one, would I have not swung at that one. Strike or ball, that's part of the work that goes in even when a player is injured.
You don't do that when you watch a game?
What do you mean?
Like when you watch a game now, you don't do would I have swung, would I have not? I play every pitch of every game, oftentimes on my feet, like with the fake bat. Trying to every time.
No.
Like, oh, no, you
don't
do that.
Oh. I just look at the box on the screen and go, oh, it was outside. I shouldn't have swung.
In the
zone, I should swing.
Interesting.
Yu Darvish is getting closer. He continues to throw as he recovers from his groin strain. There's talk of him coming back pretty soon. I think he's eligible in just a few days to return from the injured list. Now, I looked at the Padres' starting rotation, and if you wanted to, with an off day on Thursday, You could bump everybody up a day and skip Adam Major and have you, Darvish, come back as late as next Monday in Philadelphia without having anybody pitch on short rest or anything.
Who would pitch in Philadelphia?
So right now, it's Vasquez today and Michael King tomorrow.
Okay.
Then it's an off day. Matt Waldron is going to pitch on Friday.
Against
the Mets.
Mets.
And now if you wanted, you could move Dylan Cease up from Sunday to Saturday. And that would be a normal 4 days rest because of the off day. Then you can move Randy Vasquez up to Sunday against the Mets on normal rest.
Okay.
And you could move move King then up to Monday against the Phillies. And then you'd have a spot where you need someone else. You could wait and put Yu Darvish in as late as next Tuesday in Philadelphia if you think he'll be ready by then. And you don't have to throw Adam Major out for another start. Now, maybe they do want to throw him out for another start. I don't know.
Yeah, it would be a matter of who you want to start him against. And I don't know that.
Right now, he's set to start against the Mets on Saturday.
Okay. Yeah, I think I'd rather him throw against the Mets.
But what about not at all? He wouldn't.
Or
have,
not at all.
If,
yeah,
if they think you will be back by Tuesday, but not necessarily by Saturday, you could do that. Or I don't know if you is eligible for Saturday, if he can come back on Saturday. It might be Sunday, because I think they went on the injured list on that Saturday. Was it Friday or Saturday?
I don't know. You're working this out
the 15 days.
It's on the radio. Though.
I know. It's coming up soon, though.
This is actually live on the radio.
Actually, it was Wednesday.
Could it have been Wednesday?
7 days.
I think.
A week.
Four.
You see where I'm going here, though.
I'm trying to... You're trying to prognosticate.
I'm trying to skip over Adam Major and not have a start.
Why do you hate Adam Major?
Well, Paulie, it's because he gave up 8 runs in his last start. And I don't trust that it's going to go any better if he goes back out there again. Is that negative of me?
Yes.
A little bit.
It is. I mean, but
if you want to be a baseball GM or a manager, you can't always just have blinded faith in all of your players. Sometimes you have to evaluate and go, I don't think this guy's quite ready yet. If we can avoid starting him again, maybe we should get him back for a little more seasoning.
Well, I think it's all dependent on when Yu Darvish comes back, and I think, you know, you also never know what could happen from now until then. So it doesn't make a ton of sense to put anything in stone as far as moving guys up and moving guys back. But as long as regular rest isn't interrupted, right? And I don't think it would be. Then I think that's okay.
Yeah, I think when you have the opportunity to get starters a fifth day of rest during the season, because you haven't had that many off days, you do want to take it. So you can't just simply skip over every off day and turn it into a 4-man rotation.
Yeah.
Would this be a spot, though, maybe where you could think about doing that? Especially, as I mentioned, Padres will have extra off days later in the year compared to some of the other teams. Maybe this is a time where you get a little more aggressive when you're thin on your starting pitching and you ask Dylan Cease to go a day earlier on normal rest. Not short rest, just normal rest, as if there was no off day on Thursday.
Sammy Levitt with a really nice tweet here, Benny, and I don't know if it's nice, but it's good and it's informative. Padres lead Major League Baseball with a .262 team batting average, but they're hitting .229 against left-handed pitching. Now would be a good time to get going against lefties. The next four opposing starters: left-handed J.P. Sears today, Hogan Harris, left-hander, Wednesday, Sean Manaea, old friend, on Friday, left-hander, and Jose Quintana on Saturday, left-hander. 4 straight lefties coming at you. So you got to figure it out. You have to. Or, you know, you're potentially staring down. We're back to 500.
Back to 500.
Yeah. So
you don't want to go back to a season low, 4 games under 500.
By the way, you split these next four. Guess where you are? You're back at 500. So you're going to have to figure it out. And this is a bit of an Achilles heel for this team this year.
Would you take?
Don't ask me.
Splitting the next four against lefties? I mean, these are the A's and the Mets. These are teams under 500.
The answer is no.
You're supposed to be beating. But then it's 4 lefties, and they have not done well against lefties.
No. All at home? Not that it matters.
And then you have to go to Philly. I mean, that's the tough series right there.
I don't take that.
You want better.
I want more. Always want more.
Well, it starts tonight. See if they can get game 2 of the series, and then they'll put themselves, I think, in the position the 6th time this year where they're going for a sweep. They have not been able to capitalize on the first 5, but you can't get there until you win the.
Got to win tonight.
Until you win the second one.
Yeah, let's keep the guys that are swinging it well, keep them hot, and get some of the other guys going. It's probably going to be a pretty – Mike Schilt really likes matchups, so you're probably going to see a very heavy diet of right-handed hitters tonight. So those guys got to get the job done. And, of course, Michael – who's on the bump? Randy Vasquez. Yeah, I mean, he needs to just keep us in it. You know, keep us in it and score some runs early off J.P. Sears. I mean, again, you should not be this nervous about a freaking game against the A's in June, but here we are. And that's the – like we talked about last week, that's the – not beauty of following and being, you know, madly in love with a 500 team. Every loss just feels magnified. So it's been really hard for this team to string wins together. You got to start sometime. Why not now?
The College World Series, 8 teams are set. There's not not any West Coast representation this year. It's 4 SEC teams and 4 ACC teams.
Shocker.
Might as well be like a mini conference challenge.
Exactly.
As opposed to a true College World Series. Nothing from the Pac-12. Nothing
any major
from the Big
surprises
West.
In there?
I don't really know college baseball well enough to call anything a big surprise.
Florida, I think, was a surprise, but they rolled through.
That was the Clemson upset that they pulled off in extra innings over the weekend. That was an exciting game, to be sure. And, you know, it's a great event every year. I've never been, but I've heard people who go to Omaha and the College World Series say it's pretty – They do it really well.
It's delivered, man.
Every single
the college
year.
Baseball that I've seen and the highlights that I've seen this year has absolutely delivered. The games are insane with some of the crazier things that you'll see on a baseball diamond. But I haven't gotten super into it.
I do think it's a concern when you see some of these college coaches like throw a pitcher for 80 pitches one day and then bring him back for 50 the next day because they've got to win these super regional games. It's like, God, these guys are going to get drafted. They would never do that in the big leagues, in the minor leagues.
Do you remember C.J. Nitkowski?
Yeah,
I remember him.
Tigers?
He's a pitcher. Texas Ranger. He tweeted something the other day about a 13U game that they had a kid out there. He threw 137 pitches.
Oh, wow.
137 pitches. Which I thought was like against the rules.
If you're not asking having so many arm injuries,
if you're not asking professional players to do it, don't ask kids to do it.
Correct.
I think that's a pretty simple rule of thumb that every youth, high school, and college coach can follow.
Couldn't believe it.
If a pro team wouldn't ask it of their professional players who they are paying, don't ask your kids to do it either.
Yep.
All right, that's it for us. We are done. Annie and Elston are coming up next. Got our Wednesday show coming up tomorrow at 6 o'clock, Big League Wednesday. Where in the world is Adam Jones at some point? For Pauly Reindel, our executive producer and imaging director, and Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Have a great rest of your Tuesday from all of us here at 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody.